Get groceries delivered to your door in as fast as an hour with Instacart. They handpick fresh groceries from your local store and let you shop multiple stores in a single order. Use our link to get free delivery on your first order over $35. Just visit cart.simpsonsiblings.com or check out the link in the description.
Hey, everybody!
You're still.
Oh, okay. This is Sari.
And this is Sean.
And we're the Simpson Siblings. We talk about Treehouse of Horror episodes.
And all the other episodes in between.
Yeah, there we go.
Today, that was smooth.
Yeah. I always try to get you mixed up there. So last time we covered Treehouse of Horror 1. And for the second one of the month, we asked our patrons, our patron, all one of them, to vote, and since there was one vote...
It was unanimous.
Thank you, Timothy Burleson. We love you so dang much. And thank you for picking what is probably my favorite Treehouse of Horror anyway.
It's a good one.
It's such a good one. This is Treehouse of Horror 5. Season 6, Episode 6, originally aired October 30th, 1994... Written by Greg Daniels, Dan McGrath, David X. Cohen, and Bob Kuschel. Directed by Jim Reardon. And our guest star is James Earl Jones as Alternate Universe Maggie. He has one line.
Okay, so this just clicked in my head. Uh-huh. Well, first of all, I didn't even think about it going in. That was him.
Yeah.
But is this the only speaking line that Maggie has?
There's that one episode where it's Maggie's first word, and she says, Daddy. Yeah, Dada. I can't remember Daddy or Dada.
Okay. Well, aside from that, I love that actual word spoken by Maggie.
Yep.
Because you see her as an adult, and she gets interrupted and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the Lisa Gets Married episode.
But the actual fluent speaking is James Earl Jones.
Oh, yeah, James Earl Jones. I love it. So we get the last Marge warning intro, which we talked about this in the previous episode. This is the last one.
And she comes out with hello once again, kind of like, it's me.
Here we go again. She suggests instead to watch 200 Miles to Oregon.
Which I did. No.
Huh?
No. What? Wouldn't that be a twist? I have, like, notes.
You're like, wait, I thought we were talking about 200 Miles to Oregon. Oh, man. The thing with the voice visualization thing always seemed really cheesy to me. Like, unfittingly cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, the I can see my voice thing. I'm just kind of, it kind of stops the momentum for me a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the few things that I just downright dislike about this episode.
Yeah.
If you're hearing noises in the background, that is the ghosts and zombie hordes trying to break into our house.
And it's definitely not Amos from our logo trying to get attention.
Of course. So we've got the usual intro. We've got... this is also the last time we see the Sillies' tombstones, which... They may be running out of ideas, because one of them just says humorous tombstones.
Yeah, like they might have been a last ditch.
So it's our last time seeing the intro, and it's our last time seeing the humorous tombstones. For the most part, I don't know if the tombstones come back, but it's interesting to see Patty and Selma as witches this early.
Yeah,
because they've got the one. God, I can't remember what number that is. It's like 9 or 10.
I can't keep track of the numbers.
Or maybe it's 8. It might be 8. This is reminding me of my advanced European history class where I had to know what each of the King Henrys was. Like all their numbers.
Oh.
And I didn't retain anything except 8. But yeah, it's either 8 or 9.
We also see Mo kind of hanging from a noose.
Mm-hmm.
And I always very vividly remember when his eyes open and looks directly at you.
Yeah.
Like just that kind of weird, creepy, crooked look that he gives.
Yeah. It's very,
like they put some effort into making him look creepy like that.
And it's, there's a whole Twitter page of just Simpsons characters facing straight. Oh, yeah. And they're all so off-putting because the way they're designed isn't meant to be seen face forward.
Yeah.
And that maybe makes that a little bit even more unsettling. And we don't get any wraparounds for this one. It just goes straight into the stories after the sort of zombie couch gag.
Yeah, we have them switching body parts and all shuffling around on the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just goes right into
the shinning.
Yeah.
This seems like this is most people's favorite Treehouse of Horror segment.
I think for me, because I just have written down music, right when the episode starts, it gives that exact same feel as the movie, which it's a good movie, too.
The weird thing was, and I have this written down a bit later, I saw this segment a kajillion times before I ever saw the movie. Which is an interesting way to approach it. Yeah. Because once I saw the movie, I'm like, oh, this is this scene. This is this scene. It was the equivalent to having played GoldenEye for 15 years before actually seeing the movie GoldenEye.
I don't think I've seen the movie GoldenEye.
And the whole time, it's not the best Bond movie, but the whole time I'm like, oh, that's the facility. That's this. That's that. It was the same feeling seeing the movie The Shining.
I didn't want to get sued.
And that's part of what makes this such a great segment is that even if you don't know the source material, this is the best segment.
Yeah.
And if you know the source material, then it's even better. And that's just what's beautiful about it. The entire intro where it shows the days of the week. Oh, man. And this is a phrase that I use in my everyday life. Anytime Frankie asks me if I remember to lock the door, I go, when you check the front door, do you remember to check the back door? Don't.
It's a very valid question, though.
Yeah. And, of course, what about Grandpa?
Everyone's done.
Yep, that's it. Mr. Burns says they work hard and they play hard.
Yeah.
And I thought, dun, 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 dun.
We work hard.
We play hard. Oh my god. Very different context here. And then we get possibly one of my favorite lines. The ancient burial ground, satanic rituals, and five John Denver Christmas specials. Oh, John Denver. Oh, it's like almost every line in the special. In this segment, is immediately quotable.
And everything for the setup, especially.
Yeah.
And then we get Smithers and Burns talking about how, you know, maybe cutting off the cable and cutting the beer supply is what made all the past families go crazy. Mm-hmm. And just very nonchalantly, like, well, if we come back and they're all dead, I owe you a Coke.
And that is a phrase that was repeated from the one where they turn Homer into a robot.
Really?
Yeah, he says, well, I owe you a Coke. And it's weird because they're both Treehouse of Horror segments, huh. And they just reused that phrase. But I don't know why, but they did. Of course, the blood gets off at the second floor. And real talk, if someone took a chainsaw through a hedge maze like Bart does, how long would it take to rectify that?
Oh, probably years.
Because it would have to grow back. You'd have to trim it just right. Oh, man. Poor Willie. For multiple reasons.
This is not his episode.
No. Oh, yeah, and I noticed for a second, Smithers' eye is like in front of the handles of his glasses. What do you call these? The glasses?
Arms? Are we both arms?
Arms? That's the question of the episode that you weren't expecting.
And I'm just imagining everyone listening, knowing the word, and going,
and going, arms?
It's very obviously, insert arms? Name here, Mr. Black.
Mr. Black. Yeah, so for a second, Smithers' eye is like in front of his glasses and it looks weird. Homer just turns crazy for like in the snap of a finger. Like he like he's going to be fine. I think Marge even mentions, like, oh, you're taking this very well. And then he just suddenly says that he wants to kill everybody.
And then even to the point where, within, like, 15 seconds, mm-hmm. Lisa's just like, Mom, is Dad going to kill us?
Yeah.
That's It's a very fast change.
And then Marge very casually saying, we'll just have to wait and see. What the hell? Oh my God. And you know what? That's a theme from the last one as well. Just Marge not really caring about the well-being of her children.
Yeah.
Suddenly, for some reason. But we'll get to that later. Possibly the best scene of any Treehouse of Horror episode is the Feeling Fine.
Which I did notice, and it's going to bother me for the rest of my life.
Oh no, no, maybe I don't want to know.
When Marge is walking up to the typewriter, the paper's in crooked, like it's... Like, the page is misaligned.
Uh-huh.
But then when she reads it, it's perfectly lined up.
You know what? I know why that happened.
Why?
The wizard did it.
No.
Anytime you see something like that, a wizard did it. Oh, that's going to bother me, too, though.
Yeah, you'll notice it now.
Oh, God, why? Why would you curse me with this? Oh, man. One idea that came into my head from this, and I don't know if this will ever happen... But man, that'd be a great tattoo. Just a typewriter, and it just says, feeling fine.
Have it, like, on your upper arm, so anyone's like, how you doing? You just lift it up,
feeling
you glance
fine.
Down, feeling fine, you put it back down, and just walk away.
And the thing is, if they know the episode, well, if they don't know the episode, they'll be like, oh, okay, they're just kind of weird, just feeling fine. But if the person does know the episode, they'll be like, this person is saying that they're feeling fine, but is actually ready to, like, axe murder everybody.
So they'll think you're weird either way.
But. That's true. But in one version, they get it. They'll be mentally prepared for it. They'll just have to wait and see, as Marge says. They'll
be able to grab that bat.
Give it a bat.
It says, breaking case of spousal insanity.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the way he says, give me the bat.
Give me the bat.
Give me the bat.
Give me the bat. Bat boo. Which, oh man, when I first saw The Real Shining, that was the scene that jumped out the most to me. Because, I mean, that's one of the most famous scenes of the movie, so yeah. It kind of makes sense. But he acts so much like him, too, because he does, like, the whole give me the bat thing.
Yeah.
And
on a podcast, they can't see you doing your hands
like
that.
Oh, yeah, I guess they can't. Well, anyways, I'm doing the give me the bat thing with the hands. You know what I mean. You can see it in your brain. But yeah, just definitely a great homage.
Yes.
Oh, and the animation when he says go crazy. Can you imagine having to animate every single frame of that?
Oh, with the words?
With the don't mind if I do.
Oh, that, yeah.
Like all of the different ways his face. I distinctly remember as a kid being able to do that whole thing, like, pretty accurately.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Something I never really thought of, Marge picks up Homer.
She does?
Yeah, because, so of course we have the really good gag of him saying, you know, haha, scared you, and then he turns to the mirror and screams and falls over. And then she literally picks him up. They don't show her picking him up. They show her opening the door to the pantry, and he's over her shoulder.
That's right.
And she just, like, slams him on the ground, like, holy crap, Marge. She be lifting. That was just something I never noticed. We've got, Mo sort of reminding Homer that he's supposed to kill his family.
Yeah.
Which is also, we kind of skimmed over the whole Mo bar scene. Which is, I mean, it's kind of just a scene. It's not.
Yeah, well, it kind of sets up that the ghosts and spirits are there.
Yeah.
That way for when they can come in later and pull them out of the room.
It's a necessary scene, but it's just kind of there. It also makes a really good Dankmas, if you look it up. I think it's just called Halloween. You gotta look up the dank. He does the la 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 la. But yeah, look that up. We have Mo coming back to get Homer, and he says, like, all the ghouls and I were talking, and yeah. He's got, like, Dracula and a mummy. And like, what are they doing there?
Which I was trying to remember in the actual Shining.
Yeah.
Do, like, the ghosts and spirits have that, like, physical interaction with real-world objects? It's been a while since I've seen it.
It's been a really long time.
Because they open the door and let Homer out. And I can't remember if that's true.
Yeah, so they're able to physically manipulate the world.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they did in the original.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's been a really heckin' long time. Oh, and we got the Here's Johnny, and then he goes to David Letterman.
Hi, David.
I'm Grandpa. I love he doesn't say he's Abe, he says he's Grandpa. Like, that's so cute. And then the 60 Minutes one, which, of course, is just gold. Oh, man.
And then Bart calls out for help.
Yep. And, the one thing that's, like, a direct translation of the original is the image of Willie sitting and watching the TV with the picture over his bed. Except in the original, it's like a naked woman, but in this one, it's like a lady in a kilt. Oh. Another thing, it's such a quick joke that I didn't notice for the longest time, was after Willie gets killed, which of course is the first of many kills.
Okay, this is the first time I got this joke too.
Okay. When Marge goes, boy, I hope that was scotch guarded.
Scotch.
Oh my God.
Out of all the times I've seen this episode, how did neither of us get that joke before about scotch guarding?
I don't know, but it happened so fast, and you weren't really paying attention to what Marge is saying in the episode, like, at that point.
Like, I remember it always standing out as, like, it's a weird thing for her to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it clicked.
I always thought of it as, like, oh, the joke is that Marge is more concerned over the carpet being clean than someone being killed in front of her.
Yeah, but she's telling a joke at his expense.
Yes! Which is, like, stone cold Marge here. She's picking up Homer. She's saying, let's wait and see when it comes to being murdered. And she's, you know, making jokes after somebody's murdered in front of her.
Classic Marge.
Yeah, classic Marge. We've got this scene of them walking through the snow. And they do some cool things with the angles here.
They do.
And you can really tell they're, like, walking at an incline through a good amount of snow.
It's like, you can see the effort going in. You can hear it in the breathing, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, they find the miniature TV that Willie had, and Homer is immediately satisfied by that. Television, teacher, mother, secret lover.
Which, ew.
Yes. And also, he invites them all to bask in its warm, glowing, warming glow.
Yep.
Uh-huh. That's another one I quote quite constantly. And the whole, you know, dramatic cut to them all being frozen.
Yeah, it's like that. Dung.
Yeah, which is a very, very straight homage to the original.
Mm-hmm.
Something I noticed this once before, but I always forget about, when suddenly it switches and it's the Tony Awards, they're singing the Inside Out song.
They are.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God. So that's a neat little tidbit.
Never noticed that.
Yep. Yeah.
It's funny how we can see these so many times our whole lives.
And there's just always more stuff.
Yep.
Yep. Well, that's it for the Shannon. And next we've got Time and Punishment.
This is a fun one.
Oh my God. So this is a top 15 Simpsons moment for me. This may be, like, number 15 or something. When Homer is sitting there, he's so content with his life. He says, you know, I'm so happy to be sitting here with my family in this beautiful country and all of this stuff. And he says, you know, I think I'm really a lucky guy. And it's just this wholesome, nice moment. And then out of nowhere, Dad, your hand's in the toaster!
You know, it's funny. Out of all these Treehouse of Horrors that I've seen and stuff, I honestly think this toaster was the thing that was the creepiest thing for me as a kid. Out of everything, the fact that it appears out of nowhere, mm-hmm. his hand is in it, mm-hmm. he can't get his hand out, mm-hmm. and it's sparking even though it's not plugged in, mm-hmm. and then he gets it off and it teleports back to his hand. Uh-huh. Like, that was, I don't know what it was, that specifically was
really
creepy to me as a kid.
Because I always just saw it as Homer being so clumsy that he could, like, fall off a one-step staircase, you know?
No, because he like, throws it across the room.
And then somehow it's back. Maybe that's part of the time travel, though. Maybe he'd already traveled before that.
Yeah.
And had somehow made that appear. That's interesting, though, because that is one of the few Treehouse of Horror moments that doesn't creep me out.
Yeah, it's just
when I think just
my brain as a kid thinking it through.
And you were very specifically thinking of, like, the science of it. Like, yeah. Why is it sparking and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. So, of course, he eventually takes it into the basement. He literally breaks it open with a rock. It's a rock. Like, he probably just found a rock out in the yard. And somehow manages to turn it into a time machine.
And, like, remolds the outer casing so it can, like, fit mm-hmm. the insides. And
like, you can't just accidentally make a time machine, but then Homer absolutely does. And he travels to a time when dinosaurs weren't just confined to zoos.
And we have this pseudo-Jurassic Park music kicking in.
The non-copyright infringing. Oh, man.
Remember your advice your dad gave you on their wedding day.
On his wedding day. He talks about not altering anything if you travel through time. And he's like in a suit and everything. There's also a small moment that I just love where there's this weird sloth looking thing.
I have that written down too.
And he goes, "Mom." And he's just cute.
It's like a huge sloth.
Yeah. He's just cute. So he returns to Springfield to find Flanders as the unquestionable Lord of the Earth.
Yes.
Which, I mean, obviously is going to happen. And re-education. Whoever thought of that word deserves an Emmy.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Just right away. Just the minute that they said that in the writer's room, just hand that person the Emmy.
And just adding one letter.
Yeah.
To the word. Just
the re-education.
Completely changes it.
And he's so happy and optimistic about everything. So for some reason, speaking of things that creep us out, I distinctly remember having a nightmare as a kid where I was standing in that line in front of the big screen.
For the lobotomy?
Yeah. And I actually remember in the dream passing out and then waking up and everything was like slightly off, and I was holding part of my brain.
Weird.
It was creepy as hell. And, like, Mo was there, and it was, and I, like, was disoriented, like, I couldn't do certain things.
Like, your dream creepy. Brain knew enough to change your perception of the world.
Oh, that's man. Cool. And of course, it stuck with me for this long, because I think I had that dream when I was, like, 8 or 9.
Hmm.
But, yeah, that stuck with me.
I love the moment when they're having the hooks to make him smile.
Oh, yeah.
And Homer looks aside at the guy, like, what the hell are you smiling at? Like,
they've all got hooks. Like,
so come obvious. On, Homer.
Oh, my God.
You built a time machine in a toaster.
Yeah.
Get the concept of the hook.
Oh, my gosh. So, of course, he's able to get away, and he travels back in time again, tries to fix everything by not changing anything. Which, at this point, the timeline's already been changed. Is he really going to change anything back by not doing anything?
That's what I was, like, if he's, and here's where my brain was like, temporal mechanics.
Yeah.
Like, if he's going back to the same point,
uh-huh.
Well, first of all, he would see himself if he kept going to the same point. Or if he went slightly after, the effects were already done. So we have to go back to.
He's just going to be making it worse.
Yeah, it.
I mean,
beyond the scope of a Simpsons episode.
Yeah. He tries not to affect anything, and he accidentally sits on the fish. That weird, like, fish with legs. And I love the sound it makes. It's like a kind of. It's like a Nickelodeon splat kind of sound.
I'm laughing because of what he says.
I wish
hadn't killed that fish.
Yeah.
So Dr. Seuss.
I love it. It's so cute. And yet it's also very Homer. Just he's just like, oh, here we go again. And then, of course, he comes back and the Simpsons are just giant. Which is kind of kooky, but, you know.
It's like Lisa. Like, Bart's voice sounds pretty much the same. But Lisa's is very deep. Let's glitch him.
Yeah, she's almost sounds like from the shorts, where she's very playful.
And, yeah.
Yeah. The sneeze domino effect that happens in the next one, where Homer sneezes and then each dinosaur just sneezes in turn. And that leads us into the best possible universe, which is where they're all rich.
Did you notice one thing that pretty much stayed the same?
Other than Homer?
The curtains in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, they had the corn cobs.
Yeah, but they're blue.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I can't remember who it was exactly, but one of the showrunners or one of the directors said that this sequence breaks their heart every time they see it. Oh. Because he's so close to having the perfect life. And they say, of course, they say, "What's a donut?" And he runs out of the room screaming, and then Marge goes, "It's raining again." And then it rains donuts outside.
I just wonder what he could have done to physically change rain into donuts.
Oh my god, I don't know.
Just imagining some industrial disaster.
And it's interesting how everything else stays the same. Like, Marge is still Marge, Lisa's still Lisa, Bart's still Bart, but yet these other things change. But yet Homer didn't, like, marry someone else or have three girls or three boys. Like, those aren't the things that change. It's these other overarching things, but of course we're thinking too far into this.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's what our job is.
That is our job. It is. And Willie dies again, of course. Yep. For the second sequence. And there's James Earl Jones with "This is indeed a disturbing universe."
Which, how did I not know that was him?
Yep. So, a little fun fact, and I actually learned this from one of the Simpsons Twitter pages I follow. When there's that really quick sequence where they keep showing different houses, there was originally one where someone really painstakingly drew this, where it was the Simpsons house, but it was made entirely of squirrels.
Oh, wow.
And, like, live squirrels. And they drew it, and it looks really cool, but then they kind of realize this, and I think I agree with them, that when it's going by so quickly, you can't tell what the heck it is.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, a really cool idea. So if you ever want to go online and look up Simpsons House with Squirrels.
Oh, they have the image?
Yeah, you can actually see the image. Cool. Yeah, it's really neat. Someone put a lot of work to it, and they never used it. Oh, and then we've got the little Kang and Kodos insert.
Yes.
Yeah, where we've got, what happened to us, Kodos? Quiet, you. I love that. So they don't even really show how he eventually fixes it, but he goes back to what looks like the regular world, and he kind of like shakes Marge a little bit, and he literally, what he actually says is, "What of donuts?" "What of donuts? What of donuts?" after asking all these other questions, and Marge reassures him that everything's okay.
But, like, donuts are plentiful.
Yes. And, of course, they all have snake tongues.
Yeah, but they still have silverware on the table.
I wrote the exact same thing!
I swear I didn't look.
I wrote the exact same thing. Yeah, and Homer's like, close enough, and just lives with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yet, he doesn't know if he's going to see other differences later on.
Yeah, it's but close enough. It's a
he's
risk.
He's got his family, he's got donuts. He's got everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So moving on to Nightmare Cafeteria.
Oh, you love this one.
Oh, God. So I usually skip this one because it creeps me the heck out. So I actually have like three sheets, just notes on Nightmare Cafeteria. Even my daughter, who's usually not scared of anything, she didn't want to watch this one before bed. But I honestly don't blame her, because I didn't want to watch it before bed. But I had to. For artistic integrity, I could have gone off of memory, but no. I had to watch it. Even the music at the beginning gives me a sort of imminent doom feeling. Like, it's got, like, the bum-bum.
Yep.
And I don't like it.
You're just looking at me like you don't want to do this right now.
I don't like it with a capital W. Don't like it. It's funny because, like, one of the few... There's, like, a couple good jokes in this, but it's mostly just dread and horror.
Yeah.
But you do get the whole thing where Bart wants everyone to turn their desks around, and he's the only one that really does it.
Yeah.
So he gets sent to detention, and of course it's overcrowded. And he gets sent instead to the cafeteria.
That one kid, I'm running out of oxygen. Well, you should have thought of that before you threw a paper airplane.
Oh my god.
Brutal.
I know, this whole sequence is brutal. They're serving grade F meat, which I believe it said something about, like, it's circus animals?
Mostly circus animals, some filler.
Some filler. And then we get the part, I don't know why I thought this was funny, where the stuff spills on Jimbo, and he goes, hey, my favorite outfit.
Everybody always wears their favorite outfit in this show.
Yeah, they only have one outfit. I don't like this scene where he goes into the room and they close the door.
Yeah, when they talk about, like, it's hard to clean this pot when you're pouring meat tenderizer on me.
Yeah,
like that's got to be burning your skin. Or
Oh, God. But it was great voice acting. I'm not sure who does his voice, but they did a great job. And it's like, okay, so there's cannibalism.
Mm-hmm.
You've got killing children.
They're suddenly okay with murder.
Yeah, everyone, including Marge, is like, about it.
Yeah, when they go run there for help, and she's like, deal with your own problems. You're 7 to 9 years old, or
that was the part that got me as a kid. I was like, she's got to be able to do something. Because when you're a kid, you think, oh, I can always go to my parents at least. And that she's just like, you tell them not to eat me.
That, like, helpless feeling.
So, of course, they kill Uter next. And there are way too many dots over Oktoberfest.
You know, I noticed that for the first time, too. Like...
It's like almost every single letter has the dots on the... What's that called again?
The umlaut?
Yeah, umlaut, yeah. Skinner, of course, they call that lamp shading when they just state the obvious.
But then he's like at the end, scratch that.
You could just say we just ate Uter and he's in all our stomachs right now. Wait a minute. Okay, here's something. This is something that disturbed me about this episode that I never really thought about before. It almost seems like the teachers become addicted to eating the students. Because they don't have to eat the school lunch. They're the teachers.
Yeah.
And
they get fat.
And yeah, Edna gains weight. The homework is to eat a stick of butter. The fact that this class size goes down, like, it's like they've become crazed by it.
Yeah.
Which is so disturbing. And I don't think this concept is based on, like, a specific thing that it's spoofing. But they legitimately made, like, a really great horror concept.
Yeah.
That this could just be a movie.
Well, it's even not necessarily that they're addicted to eating them. I got the impression that they were addicted to, like, the thrill.
Oh, dear God, that's almost worse.
Because they're so willing. Like, they're in the teacher's lounge.
Uh-huh.
And when Seymour, like, taps his nose,
yeah,
that they're eating Jimbo Jones.
Uh-huh.
And they start laughing, and then it's almost like they just get the thrill out of killing the students.
Yeah.
And then also, I thought it gets to the point where the kids know what's going on. They mm-hmm. got to get rid of them.
Yep. Oh, dang, that's so messed up. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. So there's 5 kids at the end. And you notice they very specifically, like, it's probably the second shot of the episode. Because first shot's the school. The second shot is the inside, and they're just showing all these students in the class. And now they're cutting to the shot, and there's, like, 5 kids in the class.
Yeah.
And, Is his name Wendell? That kid with, like, the curly hair? I was going to ask.
That sounds familiar.
I'm pretty sure.
The super pale kid?
Yeah. I was thinking it might be Lewis, but I think Lewis is the other kid that hangs up with him.
I think Wendell's right.
Yeah. So, Wendell is visibly shaking. Like, it kind of breaks my heart. He whines to himself when he's sent to detention, and then he does something very specific. He looks to the others for help. He kind of goes, huh? Huh? Like, is someone going to stand up for me? And then he just kind of hangs his head like he's made his peace with it.
I didn't notice all that.
Like, it's so depressing. He's, like, looking for help, and then he just sort of hangs his head in surrender and just leaves the class. And they have, like, an upward shot of him walking through the empty desk.
Yeah, that's a very creepy angle there.
Oh, my God. It's, like, a 10-second-long scene, but it's so chilling. And then we get the sort of really obvious joke of the joy of cooking Milhouse. Yes. Which kind of reminds me of the first Treehouse of Horror, the how to cook 40 humans. Yeah.
Oh, and, you know, I have written down, kind of out of order, when we see, like, the kids in the cages, too.
Oh, that's coming right up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was thinking of the empty school, but...
Yeah, Yeah, so just slightly after that, the kids start to kind of try to make a run for it.
Yeah.
And they crawl out, and that's when they see the kids in cages.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we also see the free-range children.
I love that so
they're just, like, wandering aimlessly.
Like, some of them kind of look like they're almost kind of sort of galloping or skipping or something. And Martin's got a super desperate expression on his face.
Yeah.
He's, like, shaking the cage.
Well, there's another episode where he's in the cage, too.
Yeah, where he's, like, ironing.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is a much different Martin in cage situation, which is weird that there's more than one.
Yeah, poor Martin.
Okay, so now we have an image that's going to haunt my nightmares, which is Lunch Lady Doris covered in blood, wielding one of those hand blenders. And
yes.
Holy heck, that'd be a great costume.
Oh, that would.
Yeah, like, put your head in, like, put, like, your hair in a bun, get, like, a Lunch Lady outfit, douse it with blood, and then get one of those hand crank. Man.
Yeah.
And even if someone doesn't get the reference, it's going to be terrifying.
It's still, it still haunts you.
Yeah. We've got Willie for the third and final time trying to save them, and he's killed again. And I noticed, so Principal Skinner kills him, and he's got this really happy look on his face.
I wrote that down too. Smile after killing Willie. Like, it's a very, like, satisfied, like he's been wanting to do it.
Yeah. But it's not also not like a super evil smile either. It's just, like, content.
Yeah.
It's weird. And then we also have the other nightmare fuel moment, which is the giant food processor with, there's just, like, a freaking vat of blood next to it.
Yeah. It's on what, gooify mode?
Dear God. So something I never noticed, when they're approaching them, Skinner is wearing a bib, and it's got, like, that school sign on it of, like, two kids walking to school.
Yeah.
Like, the school crossing sign.
Yeah.
That's so messed up.
Yeah, very, like, ominous
that
and creepy.
That is so messed up, and it also shows how much they are enjoying this. Like, they are in the Eating Children fan club at this point.
Yeah.
Oof. Oof.
You okay?
I'm ready to be done with this one. Oh. Oh, so the expression on Milhouse's face as he hits the whirring.
Yeah. Which they animated those in very.
Oh my God. And of course it cuts off right before, you know, and then Bart says, like, well, something will save the Simpsons children, and they get kicked in. And, okay, I have this written down. So, are we good on Nightmare Cafeteria?
I think I'll just say, at the end, I think it was quite clever how there's no good way for them to escape that scenario, and it being a dream sequence is basically the only way for it to end without them actually dying.
Yeah, because they really couldn't have... I mean, they could have, but I don't know... I can see them having an alternate ending where maybe they're eating Bart and Lisa. and they're they, and yeah. they're just kind of like, oh, well, or something. I don't know.
Skinner pulls a piece of shorts out of his teeth or something.
Oh my god, that would have been pretty good. Yeah, because he does mention that. Maybe I'll start by eating your shorts. Okay, so moving on from that, though, there was always something so off-putting to me about how Bart wakes up. Because his scream is super short.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost like screams short, like does a short scream, and then he's almost suspicious. And normally if you show someone waking up from a dream, they scream and they're either sad, relieved, or scared. But he's just sort of suspicious here. And he's in his normal clothes too. Yeah. And that the way they frame him, there's a ton of empty space. Like it's his face and then just a bunch of room above him. And it's just, there's just something weird and off about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, things are not okay yet. And things are definitely not okay. Especially for me.
Yes.
Because of this next scene.
I remember you being a kid and looking away.
I remember being a kid. And so I remember for the longest time when we were like little, our mom worked nights and we would be with our dad. And we would wait for her to come home at night. And I remember one night this episode was on and I kept looking out the window and really I didn't want to watch the episode. And I kept saying, no, I hear her car. I think she's coming home soon. But really, I just didn't want to look at the TV.
Yeah.
'Cause I knew this was coming. Oh, God.
The fog that turns people inside out.
I was like, dear God,
I'll say it
why?
So you don't have to.
We've already been through enough at this point in the episode. Yeah. And, of course, what does he say?
Weather stripping?
Yeah, weather stripping.
Okay, if there's fog that turns people inside out, you don't buy the cheap weather stripping.
No. And, like, I remember that was my cue as a kid. When I heard cheap weather stripping, that's when I knew to look away.
Yeah.
So they turn inside out, and it's really horrifying, especially if you go on, if you know the website Frankiac, it has, like, screenshots of every Simpsons episode. They did an amazing and also horrifying job animating every frame of that.
Yep.
Like seeing their skin peel back and everything. And something I noticed was that Maggie, there's a shot of like Marge holding Maggie. They're both like screaming while being turned inside out. And I noticed that Maggie has teeth all of a sudden. And then I realized it's because we're seeing the other side of her gums. Oh. How freaking messed up is that? Holy crap. But yeah, it's terrible. But it's also very well done, but it's also absolutely horrifying.
But it's also weird that, like, Marge's hair has veins and skin.
Why?
And, like, as they're dancing, like, it's spraying blood.
Yeah. And then and at the end, when Santa's little helper comes and drags Bart away while everyone else just keeps singing happily, and he's, like, screaming... Holy heck. Yeah, and then the episode's over. And then you just kind of pour bleach on your brain because you don't want to remember any of it.
And then we talk about it.
And then we talk about it. But at the same time, it is so well done. And, you know, it's a wonderful, terrible episode at the same time because it's just so horrifying. I don't know if they ever outdid the scariness of that last one.
Yeah, and wonder what, like, motivated them to just... Oh, do you know?
Yes. So now we have the fun facts brought to you by the Cinco Facts Machine.
Oh, thanks, Cinco.
So I'm going to go in order, but I'll eventually get to your question. The third story does not have Homer in it at all.
Oh, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Except for the end. I mean, but you don't really count as part of Nightmare Cafeteria. But Nightmare Cafeteria does not have any Homer. Sherry and Terry originally represented the twins in The Shining. They actually have a deleted scene with the two of them.
That's going to be hard fitting three stories.
Yeah. So David Merkin... purposely made it as bloody and gruesome as possible because of complaints from Congress.
Doesn't Marge say at the beginning something about Congress?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did Congress complain about The Simpsons or TV?
Specifically The Simpsons, because of their Halloween specials. And so they were just like, we'll just ramp that up.
Yeah.
Which, like, holy crap, did they ramp it up?
Simpsons versus the U.S. government.
Yes. Jeez. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know about this. The Inside Out Gas is a reference to a 1962 radio drama called Drop Dead, episode titled The Dark. I don't know if I ever want to listen to that. I think I'm good. This is the first Treehouse of Horror that does not have a Twilight Zone parody.
Oh.
All the other ones did. Nightmare Cafeteria was the first segment ever written by David X. Cohen, who would later go on to do Futurama.
Nice.
Yep. Oh my god. I am emotionally spent after that episode. Oh my god. Oh my god.
We knew we had to do it sometime.
We definitely did. And it's weird because I have almost like a love-hate relationship with this episode because it's so great. But it's so freaky and so out there and gruesome. But they really did go all out with this one. And it's worse than that flesh-eating virus you've read about. Yep. Well, we're going to do one more bloody gruesome one next. And it's one that I've never seen. And I think you've never seen it.
Me neither.
So next episode, we're going to be tackling season 31, episode 8, Thanksgiving of Horror. And I'm really curious about this one, because this is on a lot of people's top modern Simpsons episodes lists. And so I'm really curious about it. And, excited. It should be fun. So definitely watch that episode before you listen to the next one to get the full experience. So until next time, happy Halloween, everybody!